hard work. Okay, thank you very much for your call. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Stay tuned for more. And Air Cascadia is next, going out to you on 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Yes, you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. We're about 15 minutes away from Flashpoints today, looking at the issue of immigration reform and the impact it's having on the presidential campaign, among other topics. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Sarika Mehta speaks with Parnaz Farutan, author of the debut novel, The Girl from the Garden. And at 11:30, the film show will feature filmmakers whose works are featured in the Portland Film Festival, among other topics. Join us at 11:30 for that. But up next, it's Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of the 4th Portland Renters Assembly and their March for House Rights. The assembly is on August 26th at the Midland Library from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. There will be speakers on the housing crisis and community organizing, personal stories, large and small group discussion about political strategy, but also defending and otherwise supporting each other. Snacks and childcare will be provided. The march is on August 28th. It starts at City Hall at 6 p.m. with a rally and ends at the Multnomah County Building with another assembly. The theme will be Housing Rights for All and will encompass everything from homelessness to affordable housing to tenants' rights to at-cost public housing. More information can be found at kboo.fm under Community Events or portlandrentersassembly.info.
You gotta fight for your rights!
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, August 27th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Coming up, 15 minutes, news, comment, jiggery pokery, all the usual stuff. Writ large today, writ large indeed, because these are very strange days that we seem to be living in. Take any particular arena where gladiators are clashing in the dust and the blood. Pick any arena and look deeper into it, and then you begin to see some of the connections between the terrible events, and not forgetting and not losing touch with the fact that these terrible events, of course, are opportunities for change, because whenever you have turbulence in the system, there are so many openings that it's difficult to know where to even begin. The opportunities right now to create change in our world are so numerous that it can sometimes bring people to a complete halt, to a complete standstill. But you have to do something, and one person that is in fact doing something, I tried to get her on the line. I live in Troutdale, so I'm just going to drive to Cascade Locks this afternoon. 5 days is a long time to go out without food and water, and I guess this is another day chalked up to the fight to keep Nestle out of the gorge. Why? When we have pretty much the entire state under drought emergency declaration. And if it's not declared to be a drought, I mean, you don't need a declaration to have a drought, just like you don't need a permit to have a protest. What we've got is plenty of drought, not enough water. And yet, the prospect of Nestle in the gorge is still on the table. Somebody needs to kick the table over once and for all. Now is the time. One person, of course, a member of the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. And you'll notice, too, if you've been a consistent listener to Cascadia, you'll take note that more and more, increasingly, especially in Canada, First Nations are standing in the front of all those who are fighting back against fossil fuels, dangerous mismanagement of natural resources, as we're seeing right now in Cascade Locks up in the gorge with Nestle. More and more of these situations, First Nations is taking pole position in the fight to stop it. And we of course, as latecomers, the white colonial population, it's time to stand down, take a step back, and then fight on alongside the people who own the land, who own the water, own the air. They don't own it, but it is nonetheless. They are the stewards of that land. They are the keepers of a promise made to future generations. And if we expect to see any future generations, now's the time to stand beside First Nations. One of these people, of course, is Anna May Leonard of the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. Tried all morning to get her on the line every day from sunup to sundown. She's been sitting in the across from this Cascade Lock City Hall in an attempt to urge the city administrators to keep Nestle from taking millions of gallons, sucking huge, huge amounts of water out of the Columbia River Gorge. She says that she's suffering because it's how it will be for precious salmon and all of life within the river, all plant life, all animal life. Leonard wrote this prior to the strike. Cascade Locks and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife have proposed this very complicated water rights swap that would trade the municipality's groundwater for ODFW-controlled water gushing from Oxbow Springs. Now, think about that for just a moment. If this thing goes through, if this swap goes through, and it is, it's definitely a three-card Monty situation. Cascade Locks administrators plan to enter into a decades-long contract with Nestle. And this, we should be following the money and seeing which among these administrators might be making a bit of a profit off of this thing. Leonard and other members of the tribe, including the tribal council chairman, Austin Green, say that the swap infringes on native fishery rights. Indeed, it does. Once again, treaty violations. Every time you turn your back, someone is violating a treaty with indigenous people who don't think in terms of ownership. The tribe has appealed to Kate Brown, the governor, to stop the process. And so far, Brown has declined, saying that it's a local issue that the Oregon Water Resources Department is going to decide. State regulators are expected to approve or deny the water swap very, very soon. We're waiting on that. And anybody who feels moved can drive up to Cascade Locks and see what's at stake and join hands in solidarity with those who are trying to stop this disaster from happening. So this is, again, regarding money. We've just seen this extraordinary stock turbulence. It's a perfect example of why we do indeed need a financial transaction tax. It's a brilliantly. This is something that an economist, James Henry, has pointed out again, time and again, and he recently published a piece in the Real News. It's called "The Sky Is Not Falling?" China's stock market impact. A good question is why would markets in this part of the world be so quick to completely lose it over China's stock market moves and the moves of the Chinese government to prop up its currency, when it's pretty much a completely different system. Their stock market functions in no way that resembles markets in the West, markets in emerging economies like, you know, Brazil, these others that are actually playing a serious role, have been dwarfed by the craziness that's happening. Shows you what happens. It's so easy to panic investors, and think about all these poor people that actually sold off when the market was tumbling. Basically, their retirement. That's the sad part. We are so quick, amazing to me, we are so quick to panic over what happens to the Chinese stock market. We've got over 1 million acres on fire, people. Wake up! This is incredible. Our climate, we've got these terrible patches of warm water sitting off of shores in the Pacific Ocean that are driving incredible climate emit catastrophes, the likes of which we've never seen before. The whole state is suffering from drought. In California, it's even worse, and with no end in sight. Tar sands in Alberta have destroyed the continent's only boreal forest, the lungs of the continent, I dare say. And yet, the Chinese stock market panics people. People, we have plenty. If you need to panic for some reason, I certainly would be far from denying anyone their God-given right to panic. But panic over something else, not this. Not the Chinese stock market. How utterly ridiculous. We've got plenty of problems with our own system, and there are many ways of addressing it. Public banking would be one way of going about it. And of course, so indeed would financial transaction taxes. If we look around at the world that we have created, and we think about the old saw in permaculture is that the problem contains the solution. I think it's fairly evident that we have everything that we need right now to stop the overconsumption, the overpopulation that is driving the collapse of our habitat, of our environment. It's time to stop calling it climate collapse or climate warming, or climate problems, climate disaster, whatever. It's not a climate. This is an environmental collapse. You don't take the climate out of the environment. They're not two separate things, and we aren't separate from either of them. This is all part of the same continuum. It's not climate collapse, climate disaster. This is environmental collapse. Look around. Walk outside. Stick your hands in the ground. Look at the earth. It's dying. We're killing it. It's not just a climate. And when you talk about markets, I hate to tell you this, people, but stock markets are part of our environment. Like it or not, they are. You don't like it, do you? But in fact, they are. And if we refuse to engage, and if we refuse to acknowledge and take this into account, indeed, we render ourselves helpless in the face of this juggernaut that's bearing down on us. So go ahead and say, oh, we can't wait for the markets to collapse. Because when they do, they're not going to collapse on the people at the top. They're going to collapse on the people at the bottom. And that's you and I. Okay, returning back to home, Seattle. A Whatcom County man who spent time in federal prison for shining a spotlight at a U.S. Border Patrol's Black Hawk helicopter flying over his house has been indicted on yet new charges involving Border Patrol agents. It's a 2-count federal indictment. It was unsealed this week. And it, again, this is a stupid thing to do. You don't go around shining lights at helicopters, and this guy is paying the price. It's a border patrol. But what this highlights, and no pun intended there, is that border patrol is up there flying Blackhawks at night over the border. And the Canadian, they were talking about the Canadian border. So you have to wonder what actually is going on up along the Canadian border. And I'm thinking it may very well have to do with First Nations and some of the actions that are underway right now, even as we speak, on behalf of the environment in that part of the world. But always keep an eye on the borders, because you know what? Other people are keeping their eyes on the borders, and they sometimes have the wherewithal to sharpen their eyes to beady little pinpoints. So, all right, Hanford all over again, a partial review of an unfinished nuclear waste treatment plant on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation found, okay, wait for it, 362 vulnerabilities. That's just about one for every day of the year. So we could have a colossal disaster at Hanford every day of the year. We get 3 days off. Choose your days. What? Christmas? New Year's? It's your choice. Anyway, Hanford, 362 serious vulnerabilities in the design. The Tri-City Herald reported the information to reviews. A surprise, because the U.S. Department of Energy had told the state of Washington that there were no major known technical issues remaining for the plant's low-activity waste facility. And we have to leave it there. Smoke is still hovering over many parts of the Pacific Northwest, panicking people, but not nearly as much as the Chinese stock market panics people. So, that said, this is Bia Cascadia for Thursday, August 27th, 2015. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stab. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints. First, we look at the issue of immigration reform and the impact it's having on the presidential election campaign. Next, Flashpoints presents a